This is The Pillars of Bathurst with Dr. Robin McLaughlin and Brett Van Heekeren. The Pillars of Bathurst project is a cultural heritage memorial garden that commemorates past Bathurstians who've added something special to the story of Bathurst. These are their stories.
Welcome to another edition of Bathurst Pillars with Brett Van Heekeren and Robin McLaughlin. Hello, Rob. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you.
Now, today we're learning about a chap called Dominic Popolare.
That's right. Today's Bathurst Pillars people are Dominic and Susanna Popolare, husband and wife, who were among the first to receive a plaque back in 2015. Dominic and Susanna were among Bathurst's earliest married couple running a pub beginning in 1842 with Kelso's Woolpack Inn and continuing into the 1860s with their Rockley Hotel, trading under the name of Elephant and Castle. Now, while they were not the first innkeepers in the region, they have an interesting story to tell. It's a story that could have been taken from the pages of a novel.
Well, one of the things that interests me first up, Robin, is the name Dominic Popolare. It's a very unusual name for an early Bathurstian.
Quite so, Brett, quite so. Dominic Popolare was not of Anglo-Celtic origins, as were most of the colony's early settlers. Dominic came from Calabria in southern Italy, but like so many, he came to Australia as a convict, in his case for an unusual crime. Dominic arrived in 1810 under life sentence as a deserter from a regiment raised in Italy by the British during the Napoleonic War. Now imagine yourself in his shoes, eh? Dominic has been dragged from his wife and children, exiled to a foreign and distant land. His understanding of English was at best very limited, and for a crime, military desertion, that he claimed not to have committed. But he soon earned trust and respect in the colony. He was employed in his trade of a gardener for 4 years by Governor Macquarie. And it was to Governor Macquarie he turned for help in 1817 by way of a petition. Now, a petition was a formal document written in a very particular way. It would have been beyond Dominic's abilities to prepare his petition, and he was assisted by a Mrs. Jane Miller, to whom he had been assigned as a convict servant after he had left the governor's garden. Dominic's petition is held in our state records archive, and I'll read a few sentences from it. It's the most interesting document. After a formal preamble, he, or more likely Mrs. Miller, wrote, quote, "The petitioner, throwing himself upon Your Excellency's mercy, humbly craves your attention to the peculiar circumstances of his unfortunate case. That about the year 1802, on the French army entering Italy, petitioner and the whole of his family took up arms to repel them, but unfortunately the invaders proved victorious. We were obliged to fly to save our lives. Petitioner then made his escape, together with his wife and three children, and a month later he was arrested as a deserter from an Italian regiment in the service of His Britannic Majesty, and sent to Malta, where they offered him a bounty to enlist, which I constantly refused, stating that I was not a soldier, neither would I enlist, as I had an earnest wish to return to my wife and children."
Now, you've mentioned a bounty here. What is this bounty that he was offered?
Well, back in those times, soldiers were given a small inducement to volunteer for service in the army. You may have heard of the phrase, taking the king's shilling. This is what we're talking about. Now, the British claimed that Dominic had taken the king's shilling and had voluntarily enlisted. Now, to continue with his petition, he, that's Dominic, humbly hopes that Your Excellency, Governor Macquarie, as a husband and father, will believe him when he declares that affection for his family caused him to fly from the regiment to return to them, that he was retaken, and for that crime lays under the dreadful sentence of transportation for life, end quote. Then he goes on to say he did not realize the severity of his sentence until, quote, "he was so informed when he applied to your secretary for a certificate of freedom on the term of 7 years being expired, as he always considered he was a prisoner for 7 years only." I repeat that. He always considered he was a prisoner for 7 years only. He never actually realized he was there on a life sentence. Now, to continue from his petition, He therefore most humbly prays that Your Excellency will be pleased to take his case to your consideration and restore his liberty to a free pardon, whereby he would be enabled to return to his family." End quote. Now, Macquarie was not unsympathetic to Dominic's plight. Remember, he knows Dominic. He's worked in his garden. And Macquarie was prepared to grant Dominic a pardon, but only a conditional pardon, not an absolute pardon. Now, a conditional pardon granted freedom, but under the condition that he remained in the colony for the rest of his life. So Dominic Popolari cannot return home to his family in Italy.
Now, this is really shocking news for Dominic. Did he try again later to regain his absolute freedom?
He did. About 8 years later, in 1825, Dominic once again presented a petition seeking an absolute pardon from Governor Brisbane. He made the same argument as before, that he'd been tried on a false charge of deserting from the British Army, and that he wished to return to his wife and children in Calabria. Now, to quote from the petition, Dominic noted, and truthfully, I think, quote, that since his abode in the colony, he has never given any offense to any individual in it, but constantly pursued the paths of honesty, sobriety, and industry, on which account, and his innocence in the offense charged against him, the late Governor Macquarie was pleased to grant him a conditional pardon, end quote. Dominic had even arranged for his passage home on board a French naval ship then in Sydney Harbour. All he needed was an absolute pardon, and with that, he would be free to head home to his family.
So this is an intriguing development in the story. How did Governor Brisbane respond to Dominic's plea?
Governor Brisbane refused to grant an absolute pardon. Now, it seems around this time, Dominic resigns himself to his fate. He accepts he will never be allowed to return home. His future lies here. And from what we can find in the records, he led a quiet life. For a time, he worked as a servant and even served as a police constable. In 1835, he acquired a publican's license for a pub in Surrey Hills, the Brickmaker's Arms. And the following year, now in his late 50s, he married Susanna Donoghue, an Irish woman in her mid-20s. Susanna had also been a convict, but had by then served her 7-year sentence.
Rob, now I'm confused. He's claimed to have a wife and family back in Italy. Does that suggest that he was actually a bigamist?
Well, it is possible. It is possible. His wife may have been dead by 1836, but we don't know. However, the same question could be asked of Susanna, who may have also been a bigamist, judging from her convict records. Now, I don't want to alarm you, but such things are not unusual in those colonial times, okay? You make a new life here. Now, in 1842, the couple came to Bathurst, where between them, over the next 20 years, they ran more than a dozen hotels in Bathurst, Kelso, and Rockley. One, licensed in 1849, is the Elephant and Castle in Keppel Street, still in business under that name. A number of their pubs were so named. They took the name Elephant and Castle with them as they moved from pub to pub. So Bathurst had a number of elephants and castles. Now, on Dominic's death in 1860, Susanna carried on for a time as a publican on her own, with a reputation as a feisty landlady.
And thus ends the story of Dominic and Susanna Popolare?
Not quite.
Of course not.
There is an ironic footnote to Dominic's story. Shortly after he married Susanna in 1836, a little over 25 years after his arrival in the colony, at long last, he was granted an absolute pardon. This came about through an investigation back in London into wrongful convictions handed out by military courts during the Napoleonic War, including the case of Dominic Popolari. His conviction was overturned. This meant he could now return home to Italy and be reunited with his family. But Dominic chose to stay on in Australia, and in due course, in 1842, he and his family came to Bathurst. He's buried in the Catholic section of Bathurst Cemetery, together with two of his children. And on their shared tombstone, the family surname of Popolari is spelt 3 different ways. And so there's the story of Dominic and Susanna Popolari, two of Bathurst's early innkeepers with Italian connections. Well, no matter the spelling of the surname, we remember Dominic and Susanna Popolari with a plaque on the Bathurst pillars.
You have been listening to one of the stories behind the Pillars of Bathurst, presented by Dr. Robin McLaughlin. This series was produced in the studios of 2MCE FM.